Hello, you're tuned into Book Choice. My name is Paige Nick, and I'll be your host for today's show. And this week sees us bring you our very special Publisher's Choice edition of the Book Choice show, which means we're joined today by three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's number one bookseller, Exclusive Books. They're all here to tell us what they've got coming up this month, all their latest releases, their favorite reads, and what people around the world are absolutely loving, and especially what people in South Africa are absolutely loving. Exclusive Books are in the studio, Penguin Random House is in the studio, Jonathan Ball Publishers are in the studio, and to round it all off, the Pan Macmillan team is in the studio, and they're bringing us the very best of fiction, non-fiction, and a whole lot of publishing and reading insights and ins and outs. We're going to start out the show today with our show sponsor, Exclusive Books. Without them, I can tell you this, there would be no Book Choice, there would be no Publisher's Choice, and there would be no thousands and thousands of delicious titles on their shelves just waiting to be discovered and devoured by you and your loved ones. So I'm pleased as punch that Sungano is here from Exclusive Books. Did you know that June is Youth Month? Well, Sungano is going to tell us what she's been reading. She is youth after all. And a little more about some of Exclusive Books' research into the reading skills of our even younger youth, as well as a handful of youth-focused titles that you may be interested in. Welcome to the show, Sungano from Exclusive Books. Let's kick things off on Book Choice Publisher's Choice today.
Thank you, Paige. I'm Sungano from Exclusive Books with another roundup of recommendations. June is Youth Month, and I want to take the opportunity to talk about books that kids everywhere love, as well as a book that might awaken anyone's inner child. As a member of the youth myself, I just finished reading Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall. It was fun. It's a bit of a family drama that's set in a small village and told between 1968 and 1975. It follows Beth and her husband Frank as they encounter Beth's ex-lover Gabriel when he returns to the town and kind of shakes things up a bit. It reads like a bit of a soap opera, but I enjoyed it. I gave it 4 stars. Speaking of Youth Month and of reading, literacy levels among primary school learners has been a concern nationally. Looking at figures from the 2030 Reading Panel, which is a panel of South African leaders tasked with understanding what challenges learners are facing as far as literacy is concerned, as well as developing strategies and solutions to make it so that every child can read by the year 2030. Figures from the latest panel report that the South African systemic evaluation in 2024 found that 81% of South African grade 4 students cannot read for meaning in any language. So what does it mean to read for meaning? Knowing what a word is and what it sounds like can be different from knowing what a word means. Reading for meaning is the practice of children or anyone reading a word on a page and knowing what it means literally, as well as being able to use the word in a different context or make a new sentence with that word. Reading for meaning demonstrates an engagement with whatever you're reading, as well as it helps to build confidence while reading. The 2030 Reading Panel has a sustained focus on children being able to read for meaning so that every child in the country has the correct tools to be an active member of society. Language, and ultimately reading, is a tool that we can use to understand each other. By sharing our stories and reading those of others, you enter all kinds of different worlds through the people around us, as well as learning about the world and stretching your imagination. Anything is possible when you read, not only because you can literally make anything up, but because everyone's experiences are different, lived or written. Reading can also bring people together. When I was in high school, I would go to the library with my friends and we would pick books to read, not for ourselves, but for each other. And then when we were done, we would kind of sit together and talk about them and talk about what we liked and if we would read from that author again or read from that genre again. And it was great because I was introduced to so many new books that I never would have picked up. And it's fun to share with people and share what you like with other people. Reading is a skill, like anything, and the more you do it, the better you get. I'm lucky to be one of those people that loves to read, and I was encouraged to read by parents from an early age. Reading is fun, and reading for enjoyment is an undiscovered joy for many. It could be because of a lack of access, or you're reading in a language that you're not familiar with, or you just haven't found the book that has captivated your imagination yet. At Exclusive Books, we have a wide range of books in a variety of languages to try not only be the home of the book lover, but also be a pillar in the reading community, offering access and availability to the amazing contributions both local and international authors are making in the literary landscape. Selection of books that I have today is a combination of new and not so new books that are particularly popular among the younger generation and feature a mixture of humor, fun, and useful life lessons. I can't talk about children's books without mentioning Diary of a Wimpy Kid. For context, I read Diary of a Wimpy Kid when I was in school, for an indication of just how popular the series still is. It was first published in 2007 and has sold over 300 million copies since then. It follows the hilarious misadventures of Greg Heffley, a young primary school student encouraged to write his feelings in his diary, which he will insist is a journal. Technically speaking, Greg should probably be in university by now, but primary school can feel like a lifetime, so 19 books is not that much if we put it into perspective. We follow Greg's daily trials and triumphs of friendship, family, and the ups and downs of primary school in this 19-book collection. With several spin-offs, joke books, activity books, movies, and even a musical, the Wimpy Kid phenomenon is far from over. In the latest book, Diary of a Wimpy Kid Hot Mess, Greg is in for a particularly awkward summer holiday. When the Heffleys agree to spend the summer break with both mom and dad sides of the family under one roof, Greg must figure out how to be in two places at once. He's caught in the middle, and Greg needs to find some kind of balance, try and coax his grandmother's famous meatball recipe out of her, and also unpack some family mysteries before the vacation is over. Kids love the Wimpy Kid books because they're hilarious and they're illustrated. Children's books that include chapters and illustrations are a great way to make the transition between reading picture books with minimal prose or writing to reading fully chaptered non-illustrated books. Books introduce kids to new concepts, and having something fun and approachable in there is a great way to invite more reading with a bonus of creativity. The bulk of children's illustrated books have simple, easy to replicate illustrations that can potentially turn a little reader into a little artist. Plus, the Wimpy Kid books, among the others that I'm going to mention, have more than 5 books in each series, which make them great collectibles. Another fan favorite is David Walliams. He's a heavyweight in children's literature with over 30 titles that have sold more than 55 million copies worldwide. David Walliams also blends humor with heart, with his books dealing with themes like family, friendship, and the companionship you can find from having pets. His latest book, The World's Worst Superheroes, is the newest in his popular World's Worst series, which is a collection of short stories. The World's Worst Superheroes features the thrilling adventures of 10 of the bravest, strongest, and silliest superheroes the world has ever seen. This wonderfully illustrated collection is filled with adventures from secret lairs and dodgy disguises to super duper surprises. Pivoting to a title a little bit closer to home, let's talk about Pangolin Prophecy by Janet Barry. A wonderful thing about books that feature wildlife is their dual focus on environmental education as well as heartwarming life lessons through tender storytelling. Janet Barry combines her experience as a teacher with her passion for nature to deliver Pangolin Prophecy. It's the heartwarming story of Chacha the pangolin and her protector Babaloki as they face new dangers in their natural habitat. Pangolins, as we all know, are an endangered species in South Africa, and they are the most trafficked mammal in the world. As Chacha experiences the vulnerability of parenthood with the arrival of a precious pup, the duo must confront new threats that seek to disrupt their delicate ecosystem. This book is filled with stunning illustrations. It's a family-friendly tale that promises to resonate with readers of all ages. One thing I love about children's books is the incorporation of animals into the storytelling to teach lessons and spark some curiosity. Two things that will never go out of style as far as children's books are concerned are unicorns and dinosaurs. The fantastic always have a place in young minds, and to put a spotlight on unicorns, there is a brand new children's series that is sure to have any unicorn lover hooked. Unicornia Learning to Fly by Anna Punset is the first book in a magical series that follows young Claudia as she starts her first day at the Unicornia Academy of Magic. Here she will learn about spells, potions, and most importantly, unicorns. There is a long list of things to learn at the Unicornia Academy, but the first is the Unicorn Flying Test. With the help of her new friends, Claudia is in for the adventure of a lifetime with glitter, magic, and unicorns galore. If you're a fan of Isadora Moon, or you know a fan of Isadora Moon, then you are going to love Unicornia. The last book that I want to put on your radar isn't a children's book, but it does, I think, anyway, inspire a sense of childlike wonder. The Cat Who Saved the Library is the perfect book to cozy up with this winter. It follows 13-year-old Nanami, who loves playing sport after school, playing with her friends, and reading in the library. One day, Nanami notices that books are going missing from the shelves, even though on most days she's the only one there. Nanami tries to alert the staff, but they don't think it's anything to worry about. When Nanami spies a suspicious-looking man in a gray suit lurking between the shelves, she feels like this could be the person responsible for the missing books. Right when Nanami tries to follow him, she has an asthma attack, and he disappears. Now we meet Tiger, the talking cat. Together, Tiger and Nanami must figure out what happened to the books and what other secrets lurk in the library. This book is a sequel to The Cat Who Saved Books, which was published in 2007 and was also translated from Japanese. Both are cozy reads that have a little bit of magic and lots of books. I hope you feel at least a little bit inspired by some of the fun things that children are getting up to and feel excited by the things that excite them. If you don't have something new to read from this selection, I hope you at least feel inspired enough to pop into an exclusive books near you and find something fresh and youthful to add to your bookshelf.
Thank you so much. That was Sungano from Exclusive Books with some shocking but enlightening youth reader statistics. Wow, I think I'd heard of reading for meaning before, but I'm not sure I'd ever fully comprehended what it really means and the importance of it. Sungano also mentioned in her segment that the book, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, has sold over 300 million copies. That's just an astronomical amount of books to think about. In fact, all of those statistics were a real eye-opener. And please be sure to support your local Exclusive Books next time you're looking for something to read, or if you want to give somebody a gift, they also do gift vouchers. And you can get this all online as well if there isn't an Exclusive Books near you. If you continue to support Exclusive Books, they can continue to support our reading youth. And that seems like a really important thing that they're doing. I think that was such a great way to start out our June Book Choice Publisher's Choice in this Youth Month. And we're going to bring you a track now, and then we'll hand over to our friends at Penguin Random House. All the tracks in today's show are curated and compiled by Mzu Maketa, our fantastic guy behind the scenes. And he brings this entire show to life, stitches it all together, and makes it sound good. So, Mzu, what's the first track you've got for us? Let's go.
Especially when I'm in a park and there's no one else around. Ooh, I get the shivers. I don't wanna see a ghost. It's a sight that I fear most. I'd rather have a piece of toast. Watch the evening news. Life, oh life, oh. Girl, I'm the worst in the world. Never walk on the ladders. I keep the rabbit's tail. I'll take you up on a dare. Anytime, anywhere. In the place, I'll be there. Bungee jumping, I don't care. Life, oh life, oh. The only one. Life indeed can be fun if you really want to. Sometimes living out your dreams ain't so easy as it seems. You wanna fly around the world in a beautiful blue.
Thank you for that track, Mzu. That was Life by the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. I find that so life-affirming, that track. Welcome back. You're tuned into Book Choice, and this is our Publisher's Choice edition on Fine Music Radio this Tuesday at lunchtime with me, your host as always, Paige Nick. I'm just here to stitch it all together and tell you what we've got coming up next. So let me tell you that next up, we're welcoming our friends from Penguin Random House to the show. Penguin are a global household name in publishing, I don't need to tell you that. And Viz Chetty, who's always here month on month to tell us about the books Penguin Random House are most excited about on their list for June, for you, our dear listener and reader. Viz, it was great to see you at the Frantic Literary Festival in May. Tell us what you've got for our listeners now for June.
Hello to all the FMR listeners. Thank you, Paige, for having me. This is Viz Chetty again from PRHSA. We are here this month looking at the June titles. This is the stuff that we've been reading in-house that we're really, really excited about. We just come off the back of Franschhoek, which is just an amazing, amazing festival to be there and to meet some of you there. I've met Paige there. So I had a really great time, and I just want to say thank you to everybody in the industry who put so much of work and love into this industry and make it such a success. And just to spear on that energy for those couple of days was just amazing. Right, these are the books that we have for June. These are the books that we've been reading in-house, stuff that we've been loving, and I hope that you love them too. I'm going to start off with the first book by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Now, you might remember that name. She did some really great books in the past with us. The biggest one being Daisy Jones and the Six, which was an amazing, very unique novel. She did Carrie Soto's Back, and this one, Atmosphere, is out now. It's about a woman named Joan Goodwin. So it's set in the 80s, which is quite nostalgic as well. She's selected amongst thousands of people to be part of a program where she will train to become an astronaut. So she works at the Houston Johnson Space Center, and she's alongside some really interesting characters that you will find that you grow to love. And, you know, Taylor Jenkins does so well with these sort of things. It's very character-driven. And she becomes an astronaut, and years go by. In 1984, in December, while on a mission, something happens and that changes everything. So this novel is fast-paced, it's thrilling, it's an emotional rollercoaster, as she always is so well. Like I said, she's so good with that. And it'll take you to another time, another place, another planet maybe. But yeah, you should give it a check out. So that's Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. That's the author of Daisy Jones and the Six, and this is her new one. The next one is called When the Cranes Fly South by Lisa Ridson. It is a winner of the Swedish Book of the Year Award. It sold thousands and thousands of copies in that country, and it's done really well for really good reasons, because the subject matter of this book, the way it's written, it's really emotional, it's beautifully done. So we think this would be something you could look at as well and pick up this year. It probably will be on some of the best books for 2025, I think. I've read it and I think it's amazing. So it's about an old man who's sort of coming to the end of his life. His name is Bo. He has son, and he has a little dog, and he's come to that point in his life where things start. He's lost his wife, and he's, you know, he's lost a lot. All he has left is his dog, and they sort of want to take him away as well. And it's about him coming to terms with aging and relationships with his son. And also she turns it around where you sort of get the perspective of the son as well, which is so unique and interesting. So this book, When the Cranes Fly South, is probably one of the better books of 2025, I would think. Check it out. It's in store at the moment. Right. And then I'm going to throw in a local one. So we did a book called The Immortalites by Claire Robertson. She's been on our circuit for a long time. She's been publishing for a while with us. She did a book called Isle a few years ago. You know, she did some really, really great books, and she's an amazing writer. So The Immortalites is set in the late parts of the 19th century. It's set in Cape. The Immortalites is a reference to the ship that were bringing colonial people from England over. The main character is Ellie Kemp. She's a young orphan girl. She somehow manages to find her way on this ship. And while on the ship, something happens, and she is basically stranded when they reach Algoa Bay in Cape. And she now has to make her way from there all the way to Grahamstown. And she partners up with an old captain, a military captain, and they traverse the landscape, a very foreign landscape, as you can imagine. And along the way, they meet this woman who is an opera singer, but they don't know she's an opera singer. She just sort of, the captain has a gambling card game one night and he wins a cart. And when they go pick the cart up, they find this woman and she doesn't say a word for a good few days. Until one night she just breaks out in song, and the captain, his name is Captain Makepeace, decides that this is a business opportunity. So he uses her skills to make him money. And it's about Ellie and how she, her relationship with this woman, with the captain, and her basically getting to Grahamstown where she needs to be and figure her life out from there. So it's an amazing book. It puts you in a very different time, which Claire does so well. The language is amazing. The setting is atmospheric. You can really feel it. I would highly recommend it. It is out now. If you haven't read it before, you're in for a treat. So The Immortalites by Claire Robertson. You should pick that one up. The next one, I'm going to throw in a little thriller there. James Patterson has done another book with Bill Clinton. You remember him from a few years ago. They did a few books together. So this one, First Gentleman, is about a woman who's running for president, but at the same time, while she's campaigning, her husband gets arrested and he's on trial for murder. So Patterson does what he does best here, which is put together some really great thrillers. And if you haven't read the ones he did with Bill Clinton, they're really fun. Obviously, Bill Clinton brings in a wealth of knowledge and a bit of inside info on what that world is like at the White House, you know, behind the scenes. So it makes the novel a little more tangible because you've got insight from someone who's actually been in the Oval Office. So, yeah, give it a look. It's First Gentleman by James Patterson and Bill Clinton. That is out right now. Right, and another local one we did. This was a very interesting one that came by, and we thought we should do this book. It's a really important story. It's a very human story, and we wanted to be a part of that and publish it. It's called Popina's Journey by Popina Komanda. It's a really riveting, grueling tale of a young woman who escapes rebel soldiers and makes her way from the Congo into South Africa. And she and her sibling came here on foot and didn't have any education, actually came to South Africa and got educated, and she's doing really well. So this is her story. It is really grueling in places. So I'm going to give you a warning on that one. But the story is true, and it's as hard as it is sometimes to read it, it's also very hopeful. And Popina is such an amazing human who's survived so much to be here. And I think that this is a book that's it's really worth reading. So Popina's Journey by Popina Komanda, that's out right now. Right. And then, you know, I like to throw in a little nonfiction. So I'll give you another nonfiction, Death in Pretoria by Peter of De Heyder. This book is about the subject of capital punishment. And it is about the time when we did have capital punishment in this country. And Peter's done a whole lot of research on people that were executed back in the days when we didn't have capital punishment. It's a heavy book in places, but it's also really, really interesting, the things that he found and the political aspect of things, and over and above the people that were working in this sort of space and what that was like for them. So I think it's a really important book in terms of you hear things like bringing back the death penalty. And I know it's a dark subject, but it's a really interesting take on exactly what went down. So it's historical and, you know, really opens your mind to things. So Death in Pretoria by Peter of De Heyder, that's out right now as well. Right. And then we've got another comeback. So this book is by Katie Hayes. She did a book a couple of years ago with us called The Cloisters. You might have heard about it. You might have read it. It was a debut novel. We liked it. We pushed it to anyone who would wanted to read it. So she's back and she's got a new book. It's called Vipers. It's set on the lovely island of Capri, and it's about a playwright named Sarah Lingate. And Sarah Lingate's death 30 years ago, she died on this island. And absolved of the crime, the Lingate family maintains that what happened that night was a tragic accident. And every July they return there to, you know, to prove it's true. This time, Helen Lingate, the sole heir to the family fortune, she has a plan tightly controlled by her father. She enlists the help of the family assistant, Lorna Silver, to free herself from her family's strange hold on her life. And yet, behind closed doors, this legendary Lingate family's unity is at a breaking point. Upon arrival at the villa in Capri, an anonymous gift awaits the necklace Sarah was wearing the night she died. So Katie Reed does well with atmosphere. She's really good at setting a scene. And when you pick this book up, you'll feel it immediately. So it's a really atmospheric thriller. It might even be a bit of a slow burn, but it's just quite riveting. So Vipers by Katie Hayes, that one is out now. You can have a look at it. It'll be in any good bookstore or online, wherever you get your books from. And then I'm going to throw in one last one. This is Alex North. So Alex North did a book with us a while ago called The Memory Wood, which is just a fantastic thriller with a great ending. So new book is called Man Made of Smoke. So Dan Garvey's life has been haunted by the crime he witnessed as a child, narrowly escaping an encounter with a notorious serial killer. He has dedicated his life since to becoming a criminal profiler, eager to seek justice for innocent victims. So when his father passes away under some suspicious circumstances, Dan revisits his small island community, determined to uncover the truth about his death. And the question is it possible that the monster he remembers from his childhood nightmares have returned after all these years? So Alex North does shock and suspense really well. You'll get both of those in this book. There's also an emotional aspect of it and an introspective aspect of it. This is a story of fathers and sons, shadows and secrets, and the fight we all face to escape the trauma of the past. So, yeah, those are some of the ones that we really excited about at Penguin Random House this month. I just wanted to also quick mention, if you haven't listened to our podcast, it's called the Penguin Insider Podcast. We've just launched it. We've got some really great authors on there. I've had the pleasure of interviewing some of those authors. So if you have 20, 30 minutes, have a listen to an episode. Our team is doing some really good stuff in that space as well. So the Insider Penguin Podcast, give it a listen. You'll get a bit more insight into even some of the local books that I talk about here. So I just thought to mention that in case you haven't heard about it as yet, you should. And that's about it for this month. Be back next month to give you all the July roundups. We've got big stuff coming towards the end of the year. So we are just heating up. So stick with us. Thank you.
Oh, a Penguin podcast. Hold my book. I'm heading to my podcasting platform immediately to have a listen. Thanks for all that info, Viz. Also, thanks so much for those excellent titles you mentioned. Personally, I'm particularly excited about Claire Robertson's book, The Immortalities. I am a huge, massive, enormous, gigantic Claire Robertson fan. Listener, if you love smart, erudite, really, really cleverly written and plotted, fascinating, gripping, well-written literary fiction, then Claire Robertson is your writer. She needs to be on your to-do list and your next up-to-read list. She nails it every single time. I think all of her books have been at least shortlisted for the Sunday Times Book Prize every time they come out. Honestly, listener, this one comes with a big 5-star easy recommendation from me. That's Claire Robertson's latest novel, and it's called The Immortalities. Also, I had a nod and a smile to myself when Viz mentioned Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. That was the book that he mentioned about a woman training to be an astronaut. And I just thought, what great timing. They've really tapped into the zeitgeist of what's going on right now with that one. And I'm going to look out for that. I have read a Taylor Jenkins Reid before, the Carrie Sotto one. Carrie Sotto is back. And she writes page turners. These are real. This is easy, mainstream fiction. And she writes real page turners. So thank you so much, Viz, and the Penguin Random House team.
The Omalis Fine Arts Festival is a celebration of creativity, culture and community, which is why Fine Music Radio is delighted to broadcast live from the festival. Join Mike Mills, Rodney Trudgeon, Penelope and me, San Mohammed, from Thursday the 12th till Saturday the 14th of June. We'll be at the Burgundy Restaurant. Come along and say hello. For more information, visit omalisfinearts.co.za. FMR's participation is made possible by Strauss & Co.
The Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra's Winter Symphony Season at the City Hall begins on June the 12th with the Brahms Violin Concerto performed by virtuoso violinist Andre Baranov, who will again be collaborating with maestro Thomas Sanderling. Also on the program is the Fourth Symphony by Brahms. Subscribe to a 3-concert season and save. Buy single tickets at Artscape Dynasite or web tickets for the concerts on the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th of June. Details at cpo.org.za.
That was Penny Whistle Quella by Annika de Villiers and Doozy. And you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice with me, your host, Paige Nick. And this is our special edition, comes once a month. We have this Publisher's Choice show, and it's always sponsored by Exclusive Books. Up next, we welcome the Jonathan Ball Publishing team to the show. Jonathan Ball are chatting about more youth titles to help us celebrate Youth Month. Yahoo! Bring it on. We're all kids at heart in the end, aren't we? And you know what they say, you're only as young as the book that you read. Hello, Jonathan Ball Publishers. Welcome to the show.
Hello, my name is Komoto and I am the children's sales rep for Jonathan Ball Publishers, something I love to do and a job I just completely immerse myself in. One of those jobs that just allows you the opportunity of being a child again. So I've been given the honor of speaking to you about some of my favorite books to sell or just some great books to look out for when next you're in one of our favorite bookstores. And so here we go, before I waste too much time. I'm going to start the day off with Here We Are, Notes for Living on Planet Earth by the lovely Oliver Jeffers. I am a huge fan, huge fan. He illustrates for himself as well in this one. And it's just an introduction to anyone who has found themselves living on this lovely blue planet called Earth. Something to give to someone who's about to be a new parent, or just a really great picture flat to have as an adult as well. Do not limit yourself. Life is too short. And just a great read all around. He talks about the importance of avoiding certain animals, how water is wet, and you should not go too deep into it if you like living. And just also the fact that there are certain things on your body that will grow back, but not everything. So be mindful about what you cut and what you leave behind. He does also have another series called The Day the Crayons Quit. Love this one as well. Very funny, very quirky again. Just about crayons who are tired of being colored in with. They've had enough. They feel like they do too much with very little reward, and they've decided to go on strike. So it is a series of various incidents with the crayons as to how they navigate the strike, how they navigate the difficulties of being crayons, and just also how they sort the situation out. Hopefully it goes well. Hopefully it's a successful strike and they're able to find common ground. Then the next one I'm going to talk to you about is another picture flat. Brace yourself. I love them. So you're going to hear a lot about them. The Rabbit, the Cloud, and the Rainy Day by Nicola Oban, another author who I just completely love. This one talks about a rabbit who really, really hates the rain. He hates all things wet and muddy and just can't stand it. So he takes his trusty fishing rod and he aims and he catches the cloud and puts it away in his backpack. Now, yay, good life, no rain anymore. Unfortunately for him, though, his fantastic friends talk to him about the importance of rain. If you enjoy the beautiful green grass, the lovely trees and the flowers that nature provides, rain is necessary, unfortunately. Will they be able to convince him to let the cloud out of his bag? Read the book and we will find out. Then we have Dr. Seuss, someone who, of course, we all know and love, the classic author. One of my favorites by him is Green Eggs and Ham, a title which I feel has unfortunately been completely undervalued. All right. It is a fantastic book. That Sam I Am. I do not like That Sam I Am. A great book teaching children and adults alike, by the way, that don't just be quick to shun something or not to try anything new based on what it looks like or what you think it will be like. Try everything once and then you'll know whether or not it's for you, you know? Try everything and then you'll know. And don't just assume immediately that things will be a certain way. Of course, he does have quite the range. We do know The Lorax, The Cat in the Hat, all the places you will go. So many amazing books to just delve into. No age restriction, in my opinion. Children's books are for everyone. Then Paddington, the darling bear we all know and love, with the brown fur, the red cap, and his love of marmalade jam. Great classic character. Can't really say much more about him. Do watch Paddington 2 if you've never seen it before. It is such a heartwarming movie, and everyone I know who's watched it has just been touched by it. So on top of that, we have a lot of the books in store, the classic by Michael Bond, and a few other editions that have been added to the series. Then we have The Magic Pet Shop, another great Picture Flight. Yes, you heard me right. Another great picture book about this magical world of magical animals with magical abilities. We have the puggy corn, the kitty corn, the llama corn, and all other corns within this world. It is a picture flight, like I said. However, we did start new novelizations for 6 to 9 readers about the puggy corn. So do also look at that when you go into your stores. Really, really great immersive book for the great imagination and just exploring more of that. We also have Diary of a 8-Bit Warrior. This is for your Minecrafters. If you are tired of playing Minecraft on the screen, how about you come read a Minecraft book or two? We have a few books that have been created into series for Minecraft, one being Diary of an 8-Bit Warrior, which is a graphic novel showing a lot of the characters and how they navigate the world of Minecraft. So a different way to enjoy Minecraft, just not behind the screen. And we do also have the Iron Sword series and the Stone Sword Saga. Do check those out. They're really, really good books to just enjoy when you need to switch off for a minute or two. Garlic and the Vampire. Ah, my favorite. Another graphic novel about this cute character called Garlic. Now, Garlic just feels like she is very prone to mistakes and doing everything wrong. With the help of her best friend, Carrot, she's able to just live a very simple, dignified life as the garlic she is. Unfortunately for her, in this beautiful land of vegetables, a vampire moves in right next door. Now, as you can tell, this is not a fun experience. I don't think any of us would smile at the concept of having a vampire as a neighbor. So for obvious reasons, Garlic needs to overcome her fears and all her insecurities to go and vanquish the vampire. For obvious reasons. Vampires, garlic, not the best combination. And so she goes and she does her best to try and vanquish the supposed evil foe. How does it go? Read the book. Then another title I love as well, Wild Magic by Abiola Bello, about twins who have abilities with regards to animals. One can speak to animals and one can shapeshift into them. So there is a lion, the black lion, that is on the loose in the wild, and they need to try and save this lion from poachers before they can get their grimy little paws on this beautiful, unique lion. Will they be able to do this? Again, read the book. And another one I am very biased towards is Amari and the Knight Brothers. So Amari is a little girl whose brother has unfortunately gone missing. And it is up to Amari to do the brave thing, get her buck up and go rescue her brother and find out what has happened to him. What I love about Amari is that her afro wields magical abilities and supernatural abilities. So her afro just has all this power and ability to do these amazing things. Imagine having an afro that can do all that. Hello, like, brilliant. And just, does she basically survive? Does she save her brother? It is a 3-book series at this time, so something to just read over a while and enjoy when you need that quiet time. I think that is where I'll stop for today. There's too many books to go through, and 10 minutes is not enough. If I am given the opportunity again, I would love to speak to you about more of my titles. But until then, do enjoy going to the bookstores. Have a good time, take a seat, read a few books, do buy a lot of them as well. And also interact with us on our social media. Jonathan Ball Publishers, we have an Instagram, we have just a lot of channels within the social media space that you can interact with us about. And let us know some of your favorite books as well. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day and live long and prosper.
I love Oliver Jeffers so much. And I love this segment. Thank you so much, Jonathan Ball. So many magic suggestions, and they made me remember all my favorite childhood favorite reads and how they changed my life and how they made me want to read even more and how they led me in the direction that my life has gone. So I totally agree with you. Children's books are really for everyone. You can find all these titles that were mentioned on the Jonathan Ball Publishers website and, as I've mentioned, on the Exclusive Books website or in any of their stores countrywide. I think they have 36, I might be wrong. Something along those lines. 36 stores. I'll do my research and let you know for sure. And let me just mention, if there is a birthday coming up, if somebody in your life or a young person in your life, remember those Reading for Meaning statistics from earlier on in the show that Sungano mentioned, and the importance of literacy and the love of reading to help our youth do better and go further. We cannot underestimate the importance of it. And with all these brilliant titles, the ones we've just heard about, what's not to love about reading? Be the reason a young person immerses themselves in a brilliant book this June. Please. Right, time for some music. So what have we got up next? We are heading into our final segment of the show before I tell you about what I've been up to and what I've got going on. And for this final segment, we welcome Pan McMillan to the show. Today, the Pan McMillan team are going to be represented by Karen Lane. Karen Lane is not only a publicist at Pan McMillan, but she's also an incredibly insightful source for book recommendations. She runs a site. It's called needaread.sa. On Instagram, her name is Karen Lane, and she will very easily help you choose your next read. She sends out a monthly newsletter, and she also has a book subscription service, and she's always recommending books. She does an absolutely fantastic job. If you enjoy book reviews, if you enjoy hearing what's just out and what people are reading right now, you can very comfortably follow Karen Lane or Need a Read on Instagram. So Karen Lane is here from Pan McMillan, and she's going to tell you what Pan McMillan have got going on for June and what they and she can recommend.
Thank you, Paige. And yes, hello, it's Karen Lane speaking, and I'm telling you today about some of the fantastic new titles from Pan McMillan. There are some brilliant nonfiction and fiction this month, you know, the month of June. And I'm going to start with nonfiction, and one that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in, and that is a book called One Small Step. The byline is the definitive account of a run that became a global movement. It's by Paul Sinton Hewitt, and he was the chap who started Parkrun. And his story is actually a fantastic story. So Paul was, in fact, he grew up in South Africa. And, I mean, he didn't have a particularly happy childhood, it has to be said. But the one thing that was almost a refuge for him was running. He was just happy when he ran. I suppose he could clear his head. He had a community with running. Running was his thing. Anyway, as a very young man, sort of his early 20s, he moved to the UK, and he has lived in London his whole adult life. And about 20 years ago, he was at a very low point in his life. I think he just got divorced. But worst of all, he was injured and he couldn't run. And he knew that he had to do something for his own personal mental health. So he decided to start up a time trial. He sent out messages to all his friends and he said, every Saturday at this Bushy Park was the name of the park they started at in London. Every Saturday, I will be there at 9 o'clock and I will time you. It's not a race, but it is a community thing. We'll meet up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, come rain or shine, and we will run and we'll time ourselves and I will time you and you'll at least go away knowing what your time was. We're going to run 5 kilometers and it's not going to cost you anything. That was an important thing for him. And so he began, and I think he had 12 people the first time he did it, and then, you know, the next weekend, 18, and then I think the next weekend it sort of fell on Christmas Day, but no, he was there and people came. And so this began, and, you know, this was, as I say, about 20 years ago, and it has grown and grown and grown. This concept of park run has become an international phenomenon. There, I think, are over 9 million people in the world who participate, and there are 2,000 different, in fact, more than 2,000 different parkrun events around the world. And what I'm particularly proud of is South Africa, after the UK, we have the second most parkrun communities. We have 220-something parkruns from literally Springbok to Mhloti, Zanin to Port Elizabeth. I mean, we literally have got the whole country covered when it comes to parkrun. And Paul's entire thing was about community. It wasn't about being the fastest. It was never that. It was participating. And in fact, more people run it. I mean, walk it than run it, and me being one of those. But it's an extraordinary phenomenon. And in fact, he got his CBE from Queen Elizabeth for his services, you know, to sports participation. So it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And then, as you know, I owned Bruce Fordyce with the Comrades, you know, now this month. Bruce got it off the ground in South Africa. So one small step, Paul Sinton Hewitt. I think it's a fabulous read. I think you'll enjoy that. I also want to mention Jacinda Ardern. Now, that name will ring a bell. She was the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Her book's called A Different Kind of Power. She was in her 30s when she took over as the Prime Minister. She was only the second woman to give birth while in office. And her entire way of raison d'etre, as it were, was leading with kindness and empathy. And this is her story. And she writes it saying, whether you are leading a country, whether you're leading an organization, whether you are leading your family, these are intrinsic things that she has learned along the way. I think that particularly in the present world political climate, a bit of empathy and kindness will go a long way. And I also want to mention on the nonfiction, Melinda Gates has written a book called The Next Day, and the byline is Transitions, Change, and Moving Forward. And Melinda is saying that everybody in their lives will have a transition, and some of it is happy, and birth of a baby, getting married. Some of it is devastating, the loss of a loved one, a divorce. But in all of these situations, the next day, you have to get up and move forward. And she writes very candidly about her own experiences and what she's learned. And it's a small book, but it's, I think, very moving. And I think she's touched on some very important messages for moving forward. So Melinda Gates, and lovely one, Marcus Duzak. Of course, you'll recognize the name, the author of The Book Thief. He has written a book called Three Wild Dogs and the Truth, and it's nonfiction. It's about he is a rescue dog man, and he has had these three wonderful, mad, crazy dogs, which he's written about, and it's just a joy. Anyone who has lost their heart to a dog will enjoy Marcus Duzak's Three Wild Dogs and the Truth. And then a bit of fiction, oh, some bad fiction from Pam this month, The Strange Case of Jane Eyre by Karen Thompson Walker. Do you remember The Age of Miracles? It's one of those books that I still think about, you know, things that stay in your mind. This one is also one of those psychological thrillers, and it's a bit of, you know, messes with your mind slightly. It's about a young woman who arrives in a psychiatrist's office, and her thing is she has got perfect memory. She can tell you on June the 3rd in 2012, it was pouring with rain and there was an earthquake in wherever, you know. But now suddenly there are moments in time where she loses an entire chunk of time. So the psychiatrist is trying to find out what is actually happening. I found it unputdownable. The Strange Case of Jane Eyre by Karen Thompson Walker. If you love Olivia Blake, you know the Atlas Six author. She has a brand new book out called Gifted and Talented. And for those of you who've loved the Succession series on TV, this is a similar sort of thing. You know, money is the family business, but magic is the family curse. So for lovers of Olivia Blake, this will be, please put this on your next list. And likewise, the wonderful V.E. Schwab, I'm never quite sure how to say her name. Do you remember The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue? I love that. It was one of those sort of genre-defying kind of reads. These last two are, if you're interested in a little bit of magic, a little bit of surreal, a little bit of make your mind think in a different way. This one is about three women over three different time periods, one in 1532, one in 1837, and one in 2019. All three of these women are buried in the same soil, and it's almost as though their stories have tangled. And the byline says, one grows high, one grows deep, and one grows wild. Dot, dot, dot. So I think those might be of to sink your teeth into. So yes, so those are the few new titles from Pam. There are many more, but I hope that we've given you some inspiration. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Karen Lane from Pam Macmillan. That was a wonderful list of books. I am so curious about that book that you mentioned called A Different Kind of Power by Jacinda Ardern. Funnily enough, I saw a post just this morning on Instagram where Oprah was standing next to her and raving about her book. And I had a little smile because her face, she had such a look on her face. She looked like completely shocked to find herself standing next to Oprah and completely delighted to find herself standing next to Oprah. And I just thought that really, this book is already a huge bestseller, but I think just being next to Oprah and having Oprah represented and recommended will take it even more stratospheric. These books really fascinate me because they sell. They absolutely sell. It reminds me a bit of the Mel Robbins phenomenon. And Mel Robbins wrote this book called The Let Them Theory, and it's just been on bestseller list, and not even bestseller list, but the number one bestseller since, I think, December last year. This book does not quit. People buy it in droves. I was at the Exclusive Books in Hyde Park, and the manager said they'd sold over 600 copies already, which in publishing in South Africa is a massive deal. And this isn't a cheap book. This is a 600 or 700 rand book. These books are flying off the shelves. And A Different Kind of Power by Jacinda Ardern sits very comfortably in this genre. It's kind of self-help and self-betterment, and it's what people really want right now. So I'm interested to see if Jacinda Ardern can dethrone Mel Robbins from her number one spot that she's been clinging on to since December. Anyway, these books aren't something that I necessarily read, but the world seems to be going mad for them, so it's clearly something that people want. Thank you so much again, Pan Macmillan. Pan Macmillan team do a great job on social media. You can look them up and follow them. In fact, you can follow all of these publishers on social media. They're always talking about what they've got coming out. But even better, they do tons of giveaways. They're always launching events. And you can win a lot of great books. So I highly recommend that you follow Pan Macmillan, Jonathan Ball Publishers, Exclusive Books, and Penguin Random House on any social media that you find yourself on. How about some music? This is Color del Cabo by James Grace and Sadiq Khan. Welcome back. That was Color del Cabo by James Grace and Sadiq Khan. My name is Paige Nick, and you've been tuned into Book Choice, our special Publisher's Choice edition on Fine Music Radio on this fine Tuesday at lunchtime. I, myself, have just finished a book called Patient 12A. It's a memoir by Lesedi Molefi, and he's a young man, and yet he's been through a whole lifetime of trauma and learning and an incredibly tough life. And he's written about this, and the book opens on him finding himself in a psychiatric ward in Johannesburg, and it talks about his journey. It talks about the stigma of mental health in Black communities. And while it is a deep, dark read, he also writes with an incredibly light touch. He's a very interesting guy. He's a lovely guy. I met him at Kingsmead Book Festival and also at the Franschhoek Literary Festival, and I absolutely fell in love with him. He's incredibly vibrant. He's incredibly interesting, and I instantly wanted to read his book once I'd heard him speaking about it, and I went out and bought it, and I haven't been disappointed. It just helps us get to know what people are going through, makes you look at mental health in a different way. I was curious about his treatment, which I was very impressed with as well. And I think this is a very interesting book, and I've enjoyed reading it. That's Patient 12A, a memoir by Lesedi Molefi. On the cover, Zodwa Khumalo Valentine says, an unforgettable read. Lesedi captures his journey through unraveling and self-discovery with an unflinching voice. I like that, and I think unflinching voice is hugely relevant to this novel. He has a very unique voice, and it comes through very strongly. And interestingly enough, when you speak to him in real life, that's his voice. So this book is very true to who this human being is, and it tells the story of a human being who has unraveled through a difficult childhood and is, as I say, re-raveling himself. I know that's not a word, but let's use it anyway. And lastly, before I leave you, I want to tell you that I bring out a book newsletter every single month. It goes out around about the 15th of the month. Every month it's got some book statistics, some book sales statistics, interesting snippets about books, about the publishing industry, and basically anything that kind of leaps to mind. So I'll be having one coming out in June. I've done a big survey of how people read, whether they read physical books, ebooks, Kindle, audiobooks, the kind of ways that people like to read. So that's interesting. I've got some interesting library statistics in my newsletter. So if you'd like to sign up, all you have to do is go to my website, amillionmilesfromnormal.com, amillionmilesfromnormal.com, and you'll find a sign up page. That sign up page will get you to subscribe to the newsletter and it will land in your inbox every month, and I will try to entertain you with it. So that's us and that's our show. I want to thank Mzuma Keita for pulling the whole show together and bringing us the music. I want to thank the Penguin Random House team, the Jonathan Ball team, the Pan Macmillan team, and the Exclusive Books team for joining us and telling us about what they're reading. Until next time, happy reading. We're playing out with Halala Africa by Wessel van Rensburg on keyboards and McCoy Mrubata on sax. Thanks for listening.
Yes.